Hey Shoujo fans, and welcome to episode 24 of Shoujo Sunday. This week, we are going to be reviewing episodes 9 and 10 in our penultimate episode about Blue Spring Ride. Let's dig in. Okay, so I have some long soft serve summaries for you this week. I feel like I always get really into it with these summaries. I get a little carried away. Here is our soft serve summary for episode 9, page 9. Futaba ruminates over Ko's words from episode 8. Caring for things brings a lot of trouble. She wonders if when she sees him laughing with his friends at school, if he cares about them at all. While talking to Makita about this, Morale comes over and says she overheard Tanaka-sensei talking to Ko about his bad midterm grades. Ko told his brother that he might as well quit school, but claimed he was kidding when Tanaka-sensei got sad. Futaba resolves to be so involved in Ko's life that he has no choice but to have fun. At lunchtime, Kominato overhears Ko asking Futaba about why her face looks so different, learning that she's wearing some makeup. Kominato teases Futaba, saying that only love would make a girl who doesn't usually wear makeup start wearing it. As the boys walk away, Futaba thinks about how Ko didn't make any comments on her makeup. To her surprise, he turns back around, approaches her, and then swiftly wipes the lip gloss from her lips. He says coldly, "It doesn't suit you," and walks away. As the boys walk to the school store, they are stopped by two boys from the advanced class who tease Ko for not being good enough and suggesting that he'd only gotten in because Tanaka-sensei is his brother. Kominato lovingly sticks up for him. Makita observes Futaba and Ko's relationship from afar and slowly realizes that they are much closer than she'll probably ever be to him. Tanaka-sensei finds Makita sitting alone and, for some reason, starts opening up to her about his brotherly relationship with Ko, saying that he was always stoic but relied on his big brother unconditionally, always calling out to him. Makita gets in touch with Futaba, and they declare to help Ko with his studies. They round up the whole student council and get together with Ko on a Saturday to study at his house. It takes a while for Ko to join in, but the snacks on the table lured him. After Ko and Futaba have a cute interaction, Makita panics and asks him to go get glasses for everyone's drinks. She follows him downstairs to ask if he likes Futaba, but can't seem to go through with it. In a hurry to get back upstairs, Makita knocks over a bag of groceries, causing potatoes to go everywhere, and she and Ko have to clean them up. Futaba wonders what's taking so long and goes to look for them. At first, she can't see them anywhere, but they appear in the kitchen doorway, both with uncomfortable looks on their faces. Futaba asks Makita if something happened, but Makita can't look at her, despite saying nothing happened at all. Futaba finds it difficult to believe her. And that is our soft serve summary for episode 9 of Blue Spring Ride. So.
No, I think you did a good job.
Thank you. Getting into themes, do you have a theme idea, Chica?
I said, support your friends the best way you can.
That's great. That's actually pretty much what I have. I just wrote having a support system is vital.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any sprinkles on top?
Ooh, not this episode, but I do have them for the other ones.
Yeah, I know. I think I have at least one for later in this Shoujo Sunday episode. But yeah, no, I do not have any sprinkles on top for this one. So getting into Floats Your Boat, what is your first like for this week?
I like that, you know, investigating Ko became a group project.
Yeah.
Like all the girls are just like, I gotta know what's going on with him. I have to figure this stuff out. I just thought it was really cute how it just became a group effort.
Yeah, honestly, that's very much like my first Floats Your Boat point as well. I just have that it's so nice to see Ko being cared about by so many people. It's like one of my favorite things in stories in general. I just love when people rally together to improve someone's life or show that they care. It just makes me feel so warm inside.
Yeah, me too. I feel like I think it's the best part of friendships, right? Like,
yeah,
people could say like, oh, I'll be there for you, or I'm here for you all the time, but it actually happening, it's like so heartwarming, especially like when you're dealing with really heavy feelings or situations.
Yeah. And it's like all of them are perceiving Ko struggling and they're empathizing with him and want to help and be there. You know, I love that. I love that so much.
Yeah, me too. I like the fact that Tanaka sensei checked in on Ko after midterms.
Yeah. Like, not even just as a teacher, as his brother. That's really sweet.
Right. Just to be like, what's going on? Like, how can I help? You really can't keep like slacking off. And so it's just nice mm-hmm. to see that like brotherly bond, despite Ko's reaction to it.
Yeah, Tanaka sensei has put so much effort into this relationship. And the fact that despite the way Ko reacts and treats him, that he still wants to be there for him is incredible. Like, he's so determined to be there for his little brother no matter what.
Yeah, and I think that's overall just so sweet and important, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, family's family. And it's like your friends can be there for you. And that's perfectly like great, right? And sometimes in certain situations, found family is the best family. But in this case, it's yeah. just nice the way that Tanaka sensei is making this concerted effort to just be in his brother's life. It's good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. So when Ko finally decides to join in and study, he asks Futaba what her specialty subject is, and she says science, and he replies, I didn't expect that. But then he kind of smirks and teases her. He's like, oh, well, teach me, sensei. And Futaba blushes, and I thought that that was finally a genuinely cute moment between them. It took it took 9 episodes right? or so, but I I really, really loved that cute little moment they had.
Right, me too. I mean, after that, him just being like, oh, well, what can you teach me? I thought that that was nice. Because I think even mm-hmm. though it was technically Makita's idea, right? I think that everybody coming together and just being like, oh, okay, well, I'm good at math. I'm good at science. Morale's good at English. Like, there's somebody that can sort of take the lead on some, like, on a particular subject.
Yeah.
So I thought that it was just nice overall to see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was just, like, that whole bit. Like, I don't want to, like, hammer the friendship thing into the ground, but I just really love everything about the support in that group of friends.
Yeah, me too.
I just have one more floats your boat, and it's still at, like, the study session. So after Futaba goes to check on what's taking Makita and Ko so long, Kominato asks Morale to teach him English, and she's just like straight-faced, fine. And he just lights up and sparkles. I thought that was so funny. He's like adorable the way he looks at her.
Yeah, I just thought it was so cute. I thought it was just adorable how happy he was to like get attention from her.
Yeah, even if it's just one word, he's just thrilled.
Yeah.
But that's all my floats your boat. Do you have any more?
One, Makita saying that Futaba became pretty recently, and she meant it like more than just like the makeup portion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I love that Makita was able to like notice that or see that, I guess, Futaba is sort of blossoming within these mm-hmm. the friendships that they have with each other. I would also say Kominato defending Ko from his former classmates.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why I don't have that in Floats Your Boat. I absolutely should have put it there because Kominato is a real one.
Right. That because the way he started doing that was so me. I was just like, first of all.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Not in front of me. You aren't going to come for my friend like that. And so I thought it was so nice that he like defended Ko. And Ko, I guess just because of his mentality, he just didn't expect Kominato to be angry on his behalf.
Yeah.
So it was just great to see that. Or at least I think it was good for Ko to see somebody like defending him in that way.
Yeah. Like to sort of, even though it's like from a guy friend, kind of just be like loved, you know, and feel that.
Yeah. I think it's so important. And then the last floats your boat that I had. So Makita was sitting by herself. And then Tanaka-sensei saw her and was, like, asking her about what was going on. And so then she asked him about Ko's midterms. And then Tanaka sensei said that his test scores are private information. And I was just like, you better fucking say that.
Yeah, he's such a, like, well, actually, I'm about to take that point back. never mind. I'll discuss what that is later.
Right, right.
I was gonna say he puts up great boundaries as a teacher, but
we'll get into that later.
We'll get into that in our finale.
Right? Yeah. But in this episode,
oh my god,
in this episode, the private. I'm glad he said that it was private information because it is private information. Like,
it is.
He shouldn't be spreading around his like midterms, like his scores.
No. Did you want to get into Banana Split?
Yeah.
So I just have one Banana Split, and it kind of goes off of one of your floats your boat points earlier. The reason why it's Banana Split is because I don't know that I like the way the use of makeup was presented in this episode, or this anime in general, I guess. Because anybody can use makeup for whatever reason they choose. I just feel like it was presented in this show as something a girl is almost expected to do to get somebody's attention.
Right.
Or that when you like someone, you should change your appearance to try to appeal to them. But on the flip side of that, I was liking how Makita told Futaba that she'd been really pretty lately, and thought to herself that it didn't have anything to do with the makeup she was wearing. It was just the aura of her being in love that kind of broke down her walls. So that's why it was Banana Split, because there was at least a good perspective on it somewhere in there.
I feel like this anime has kind of done a disservice to girls in that way, because I think, I don't know if it was our last episode where Ko commented about Futaba's like shampoo. And that he liked the smell of it.
Yeah.
And so then she got a more expensive shampoo and he sort of laughed it off. And then in this instance, it's like she's wearing makeup and clearly she's doing it for him, which is just kind of like, why? Like, you don't have to do it for him. And again, he doesn't appreciate it. It wasn't portrayed in that sense because, I mean, obviously, like, we're both like adults, fully grown adults. And so I don't know how I would feel about a younger person, or I would just say like a younger girl or femme presenting person watching this and then thinking, oh, well, if I like somebody, I should buy a more expensive shampoo or I should put on makeup to see if I can get their attention.
Right. Yeah.
And it's sad just because of the fact that, like, you know, Futaba is still learning who she is. And I think it would be different if she was just wearing makeup because she wanted to wear makeup.
To, like, express herself or just see what she, new look she can come up with.
Right, right. But it just seems like she has this pattern of changing herself for people. And I feel like it just hasn't gone away yet.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Do you have any banana split?
One, I said, showing up to someone's house unprovoked is a lot.
Yeah, I have that in Ice Cream You Scream. Because I was so mad about it.
Like, the thing is, the reason why I put it in Banana Split is because I knew for a fact that they were helping him.
It's coming from a good place, yeah.
So it's because it's coming from a good place, I put it in Banana Split. But, like, don't do that, people.
No, oh my god. I'm over here, like, I do so much prep when I know I'm having company. I would be so pissed if I were Ko. Like, do not just show up at my door uninvited.
Right, because it's like, you don't really know what his plans are. Like, what if he was out of town for whatever reason? Or at work or doing something? Like, and you just show up at his house, that's kind of a lot, so.
Yeah, it really is.
So, Banana Split slash technically Ice Cream, You Scream. And then I also put Makita noticing that Ko has some sort of, like, feelings for Futaba.
Okay.
So the reason why I put it in Banana Split, and I feel like this is probably something that's going to be reflected when we do, like, our finale episode for this show, because of the fact that Makita also likes Ko, but it's just so new. I just feel like if you can tell, or if you have an idea that the person you like someone else, and it doesn't even have to be, like, your best friend or whatever, I would highly consider backing out at that point.
Yeah, that would definitely be the healthy thing to do.
Because it's just, I just feel like she could like someone else or just do so much better than to hold on to somebody that clearly has a history with another person, and it looks like they're very interested in that other person.
Yeah, all signs point to, like, a broken heart.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's the last thing I had for banana split.
So with that, do you have any hot fudge?
No.
Me neither. I just have one ice cream Ice Cream since we already talked about my other one.
Oh, I had a couple of ice cream Ice Creams.
I'll just get mine out of the way really quick just because it's one.
Okay.
It's also a very quick one. So my thing is, like, why the fuck is Tanaka Sensei giving exposition about Ko to Makita? I feel like it would make more sense if it was Futaba, since he's more familiar with her and knows that Ko cares about her, despite, like, whatever front he's putting up. But it kind of feels like he's just telling almost a random student, even maybe he knows they're kind of friends, but I don't know. She doesn't need to know that Ko cried to his big brother when he was a child.
Right. That is kind of embarrassing. To be
yeah.
honest.
Yeah.
Maybe, well, you know what? Remember when they did that orientation, that leadership training thing, and like they were all together as a group at that point. So I feel like Tanaka-sensei just remembered that. And maybe
yeah,
he felt comfortable.
I guess. I feel like he's just spilling a little too freely over here.
I mean, most definitely, you know. I feel like, you know, he also needs therapy. I just recommend therapy.
I know. We're always like, I recommend therapy to these characters in every episode.
Yes, please get therapy because you shouldn't just be telling, like, random strangers things about, like, your relatives that they sort of know without their permission.
Yeah, they all need, like, I should save that for the next episode. But, I mean, y'all are listening. You've all seen it. But they need grief counseling,
yes,
you know?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Very much so, yeah. Okay, the ice cream Ice Cream. First off, at one point, Ko calls Futaba ugly.
My God, I'm so sick of him.
Right. He also, because, like, this is a laundry list. He also... when she was wearing, like, the makeup and then it sort of pans over to Makita talking to Morale, I think. You see it, like, in the top thing that he said, like, who would fall for you? You're just Yoshioka.
I missed that. I'm glad I missed that. I would have been so angry. I absolutely would have written that in Ice Cream, Ice Cream.
Right. Yeah. So when I, like, when I saw that, I was so fucking mad. I was
so mad. This poor girl.
I just, he wipes her makeup off. He tells her that it doesn't fucking suit her. He called her ugly this episode. He said who would fall for her. I am so over him as a male lead. It's not even funny.
Like, oh my God, same.
I cannot. And I think that's it for my Ko rant.
Okay.
And then I had, oh, I lied. I'm not done. Ko is only motivated to start studying with the group to separate Kominato from Futaba.
Oh.
Yeah. So remember he
wow.
went, like.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he was in the bed. He was in the bed and then he was like turned over and was looking at them. And then Kominato was like looking at something that Futaba had written down and getting like chip crumbs on her notebook. And so they were close mm-hmm. together. And then at that point, then he reaches his hand between them to get a chip. To separate them, and then he eventually gets up and just tells Kominato to scoot over.
That's so frustrating and petty because it is so clear that Kominato only has eyes for Morao
right.
anyway. And also, like, with the way Ko has been treating her, not that anything would give him the right to be possessive to begin with, but he even more so doesn't have the right to act in any way like possessive of her because he shows her no kindness.
I mean, I just, he called her ugly.
Oh my God. And who would fall for you? And yet, you
and
know,
yet,
oh
like
you,
she can't be close. She can't sit beside Kominato because Ko is that insecure. It's sickening.
I'm so dumbfounded because I watched this on Crunchyroll. I got a subscription so that I could watch anime on Crunchyroll. Ooh. And I scrolled down and everything's five-star review. Oh, what a romantic anime. Are you kidding me?
It's
Are you kidding me?
It's gotta be crack. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Like, I just... I feel like it's nostalgia. I also feel like these reviews have got to have been back when that shit came out. I don't know if it's like recent.
I don't remember if there were dates on it. I scrolled down and I saw so many 5 stars and like my mouth fell open. I'm like, did we watch the same thing?
Right.
There's nothing romantic about this in any way.
Were they rating it in hopes of it getting a second season? That has not happened, y'all. This came out in 2014. Yeah. Who knows when the second season's going to come out. But it's still, watching it as a grown adult, I'm just kind of like, no.
No, oh my god, yeah, same. Maybe that's it. Maybe we're both just old millennials. We're too jaded.
We're too jaded, or maybe we have a lot of self-love.
Yeah, and I would say so. Yeah,
we have a lot of self-love, and so because of that, when we like see situations like this where the characters clearly need it and it's not happening, it's hard.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Oh, I guess the last thing I have for Ice Cream You Scream is Makita lying about something not happening with Ko.
That was frustrating. I might have more of notes on that in the next episode.
Same.
But that was frustrating.
But blindly reacting to it or whatever, when I first saw that, before I understood the context, I was upset by it because it's just like, okay, you know, Futaba grew out of lying to you, you know? Like, you don't need to pick that up. Lying to her. Like, even if it's, like, personal and it's like I sort of, well, we find out the reason why. But in this episode, even if it's something that is only, like, Ko doesn't want Futaba to know about, I feel like she could just stipulate that. I think if she just said something in along those lines, rather than just ignoring her or just being like, oh, nothing happened, then Futaba would have felt relieved.
Yeah.
So I didn't
know.
But
it's so obvious that something happened.
Right.
Like the looks on their faces and the stuttering and the hesitation. It's annoying. But
yeah,
I'll talk more about that in the next episode.
Yeah, but that's it.
Okay. Do you want to get into episode 10?
Yeah.
All right, guys. So here is our soft serve summary for episode 10, page 10. Everyone's studying at Ko's house. Futaba can't stop wondering what happened downstairs between Ko and Makita. Ko Minato asks Ko why he hates studying, and Ko says he doesn't hate it, he just stopped needing it. And then he wonders why he's studying with the group if he doesn't need it. Makita speaks up saying that she couldn't take it if he didn't advance to the next grade level with them. And nobody wants to see that happen. Futaba is desperately trying to interpret the odd vibe between Makita and Ko. On the walk home, Futaba asks Makita if anything happened, and, after hesitating, she says no. After parting ways, Futaba goes back to Ko's house to clear things up, but sees him dressed nicely as if he were about to go out. He says he's not heading out till later, so he can chat, but Futaba panics and says she thinks she forgot her cell phone. He tries calling it, and it buzzes in her pocket. Futaba keeps trying to stall the real reason she came by, until Ko calls her on her bluff. She finally asks the question, did something happen with Makita? He reassures her it's really nothing, but after a short pause. So, Futaba picks up that there's something more there. She asks why he changed so much. She genuinely wants to know the real him. He finally lets some of his guard down, and shows Futaba the shrine he has dedicated to his late mother. He said Makita had the same look on her face when she saw it. Futaba understands why Makita didn't speak about it. She didn't want to reveal that part of Ko without his permission. Teary-eyed, Futaba begs Ko not to quit school and leave everyone, saying she wants to be with him. He wipes her tears, cradles her face in his hand, and they are lovingly and awkwardly interrupted by Tanaka-sensei arriving with groceries. Ko reveals that he has a job, and that's why he was all dressed to go out. As he walks to work, he thinks of the intimate moment he shared with Futaba. Tanaka-sensei drives Futaba home, telling her about how he told Ko to take care of mom when they split ways during the divorce, and all the pain that caused when she got sick. Futaba realizes that Ko had been struggling in silence, and it explains his actions and emotions to her much better. At school, Futaba apologizes to Makita for prying, saying Ko told her about his mom. Makita admits that watching her and Ko be so close gives her anxiety, despite saying no hard feelings about liking the same boy. She wants to be more special to Ko than Futaba, and it hurts to hear Futaba apologize to her like that. Understandably, Futaba is upset at the circumstances of it all. The girls sob into one another's arms, saying they love one another. They want their friendship to prevail in this situation. The episode ends with the student council creating study plans for Ko. And that is our soft serve summary for episode 10. Chica, do you have a theme?
I don't.
Oops. I don't really have a theme either. I wrote a guess because there was a lot happening this episode. I just put, with a question mark, don't obsess over things that aren't your business.
Sort of.
I don't know. Yeah.
It like fits because it's like Futaba, but then at the same time, like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I do have sprinkle on top, though.
Ooh, okay, what you got?
So, like I did last time, I just started to pick out quotes. So, I think Futaba says this. Ko is still walking through the night, but we will be the sign to lead him to the exit.
Ooh, that's so poetic, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was really nice, so I felt that, no, it fits the overall vibe.
Yeah, no, I would say so. I do not have any sprinkles on top. But I do have a couple floats your boat points if you want to get into that. So I guess number one would be that I appreciate Futaba trying to be direct with both Makita and Ko about what could have possibly happened. Like, she really tried to just open a dialogue. I know it was prying a little bit, so I guess it could be a little bit banana split, but I appreciated her trying to communicate directly.
Yeah. I think she's come a long way, you know, because sometimes, or at least before, she was so used to, like, suppressing herself and making herself fit into, like, whatever friend group she was trying to be in. And so her actually being honest is still new. And so her just being like, okay, well, you know what? I do want to ask you about this because it has been heavy on my mind. Like, I appreciate her making that effort as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So the episode had started off, like, basically with the ending of the previous episode where she asked them, like, what's going on? And then Ko just says, we weren't doing anything. And so I feel like, in a way, he was sort of preemptively responding to her anxiousness because he subconsciously or consciously knows that she still likes him.
Yeah, like he kind of wanted to give her that quick reassurance.
Yeah. So I like that he said that because he just said, we weren't doing anything. And then Makita was just like, nothing and stuff. And so it'd be one thing if he had said nothing. But I just, like I said, I think he just sort of picked up on the fact that, oh, she thinks something happened between us. So I'm going to tell her nothing happened between us.
Yeah. I do appreciate that he gave it a little bit more detail than Makita, even if it was still vague and it could have sounded like a lie or whatever. It was nice that he at least tried to let her know without being like, we weren't making out or something down here, you know?
Right, right. And then I also liked that you could tell that something happened with them because even though they said nothing happened and they were like walked away, Futaba was like still sort of in that kitchen area and you could see a potato on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Because like in the last episode, she dropped the potatoes or kicked them and she was picking them up. And so for a potato to still be on the floor, it's just like, well, if you were picking them up, you would have picked that one up too.
Yeah. Also, can I chime in with something very silly?
Sure.
I don't know how many of our listeners are also, like, fans of Game Grumps, but I also couldn't help but think about their Doki Doki Literature Club playthrough when they kept making that running joke about potatoes and, like, potatoes falling all over the floor and, like, oh, no. So, you know, it kind of, like, ruined some of the seriousness of the scene for me because that's all I could think of. I would love, guys, if you understand that reference, please let's be friends and, like, comment on our socials about Game Grumps, like potato emojis or something.
If you're listening to this episode, put potato emojis to our comments on Twitter or on Instagram. And then if you've seen Doki Doki Literature Club, just be like, I watch Game Grumps or I watch Doki Doki Literature Club and potatoes.
Yes.
Just so that Gianna can identify you. So like very seriously, yes, we want to build a community, but we aren't just saying that. We genuinely mean it.
Yes.
Oh, I guess before we go back to you, I liked the depiction of Futaba's anxiety.
Okay.
Because of the fact, like, well, when they went back upstairs and then she was just trying to figure out, like, what happened between them.
Oh, yeah, that was really done nicely.
Yeah, like the way she was clutching, like, the notebook, like how her face sort of turned blue, like she was so concerned. So, I don't know. I mean, there are signs of people having anxiety and I personally have anxiety. But I liked that they physically made her part of her turn blue while she was having these thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. So one thing that I really got a little laugh out of was when Tanaka-sensei interrupts Ko and Futaba in, like, a precarious position. Ko had his hand on her face, and it looked like they either had been kissing or were about to kiss, and he just pops in with the groceries. I thought that was hilariously timed.
He just physically turned red. Like, damn.
Yes. Like, what have I done?
What have I done? But then I was also asking the same question. I was like, what have you done?
Right, right, right. Same. I was like, oh, wait, was this actually going to be a thing? But
were they going to kiss?
Like, right. Was this going to be it?
Yeah, but no. But his reaction to it was very, very cute. And she did her best too, and she was holding on to him.
Yeah.
Oh, it was such a missed opportunity, but just very cute.
Mm-hmm.
I liked all the random excuses she made because of the fact that she wanted to find out, like, what Makita and him talked about. It's just like, yeah. Oh, I left my cell phone, and then he calls it, and then she clearly has it.
Yeah.
I gotta use the bathroom. I have to drink 7 cups of water.
It's like, I ran over here, and now I'm dehydrated.
Right, right. But it was cute because he even said that he was indulging her because he thought it was funny. And I was just like, yeah. Okay, very cute.
Yeah, that is cute.
I also was just like, wow, okay, sort of inflates your boat. It was either floats your boat or I wasn't going to say anything because I slightly don't care. But Ko has a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't see what it is, but he has a job. And I was just like, oh, OK, that makes sense. You know, mm-hmm. You need to make some money.
Even despite his lack of motivation to study, it's nice that he's still putting energy into something that will benefit him or does benefit him.
Yeah. So Tanaka sensei, one, I like the fact that he did drop her off.
Yeah, that is very nice.
Yeah. And it made sense. Like the way that it didn't make sense for him to be telling Makita Ko's business, it made sense this time. Yeah. Because he yeah. knew that Futaba had a legitimate connection and it looked like they were about to kiss. So that looks personal.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that he was just like, okay, well, let's talk about, you know, Ko. And she was able to learn his feelings about, or at least Tanaka's feelings about, like, their mom and mm-hmm. his own regrets in the way that everything played out in relation to his mom and Ko. And at the end of it, I love the fact that Tanaka always makes it a point to talk about how Ko is a good kid. Like, he's yeah. just acting out, he's just dealing with whatever, but he's a good kid, and he wants to reiterate that, and Futaba just, like, she was already crying, but she's just like, I got it, like, I know, you know? I like that moment between them, because it made more sense.
Yeah, no, it was really touching, just, I know it's, like, animation or whatever, but I feel like maybe I just overinterpret stuff, but you could, like, really see it in her face and hear it in her voice, just how determined she was to help him, especially after getting more insight. Despite how he is, it's still nice to see someone care so much.
I think it's just important to be able to resonate with that.
Yeah. So you probably have something a little bit more fleshed out than I do for Makita and Futaba at the end of the episode. But I was really proud of Makita, honestly, for doing some really uncomfortable communication. She was admitting how difficult it is for her to feel the way she feels, but she does feel the way she feels and wants to be more special to the boy they both like, because that's natural. And at the same time, she loves her friend so much and she's grappling with this. And I just really liked that she was so open about that.
Yeah, I like that she was open about it. I feel like for me, I don't know, it's sort of both sides. It's like floats your boat, but ice cream, you scream. So floats your boat in that she was able to talk about these uncomfortable feelings and thoughts that she had within the situation. I appreciated the fact that she told Futaba that she didn't have to apologize, because Futaba yeah. just thought automatically, like, benefit of the doubt, giving you the best, like, you know, you didn't tell me because you weren't supposed to tell me, and I fully understand that. And so, one, on the one hand, I was proud of Futaba for apologizing and making a point to do that, and also thinking the best of her friend as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at the same time, I was glad that Makita was able to honestly tell Futaba that she did feel jealous and that her not knowing about his mom made her feel special in a way. That particular point for me, the reason why I would partially put it in Ice Cream You Scream is just that Futaba was thinking the very best of Makita. And so to sort of do this, it's like, yes, you're being honest and I applaud her for being honest, but at the same time, you just showed that you are capable of keeping things to yourself if you think it's going to benefit your relationship with this person that walked you across the river.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Ugh.
And I wonder about that. Like, she's being honest about it now, but if things persist.
Right. Like, if push came to shove.
Is Makita going to continue to lie by omission to try to get ahead of Futaba?
Yeah. No, it's obvious that she is determined to be with Ko, kind of no matter what.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll say this just to get us back within Floats Your Boat. I'm glad that they admitted that they love each other.
It was a very touching moment to see them so determined to have their friendship prevail over anything else, over boys.
Yeah. I think that was just really important that they reaffirmed their friendship in that moment and their love for each other. But that's the last thing that I had for Floats Your Boat as well.
Okay, I just have one banana split point, and it's just that I didn't know how I should feel about Futaba needing to know what happened between Ko and Makita so desperately, because at the end of the day, is it really her business? But at the same time, the secretness of it all bugged the hell out of me watching this.
I just think that I feel like she thought something happened between them and, you know, Makita had promised, like, oh, like, we're not promised, but they both said, like, oh, we're going to try our best and stuff, right? And so maybe Futaba just has this idea that if you make strides in the relationship, you're going to tell me. And if I make strides in the relationship, then I could tell you. And so by them not telling her, then she just was like, okay, she felt imbalanced and wasn't really sure how to proceed, because let's say something happened between them, or one, let's say Makita confessed, then that will directly affect Futaba in, oh, okay, well, she confessed, he said no, or he said yes, and this is how I can react to it. Or I guess vice versa, if Ko decided to randomly confess or whatever, then but I see what you're saying. I get why it would be banana split, like, because technically it really wasn't her business. But then again, it really wasn't Makita's business. She just happened upon that situation.
Mm-hmm.
My banana split is a little in depth, I guess. I still don't think that his mother dying is enough for him to be acting the way that he does.
Yeah.
And I know how tragic it is.
No, I agree, though.
For him to be living with his mom and to technically be the only person at the house with her, and basically to slowly, like, watch somebody, like, pass away. Like, I sort of had a similar situation with, like, my grandmother when she got cancer and eventually, like, passed and had to go to hospice and all of that stuff. It was, like, years ago, but still, like, it's a very sad and painful process, because even though you sort of know that it's coming, it still hurts. It still hurts you and surprises you when it eventually does happen. And there's so many emotions within that. But when I was going through that, I can guarantee you I would never tell somebody that I liked, or even somebody that I didn't like, that they were ugly.
Right.
I wouldn't call them cheap. I wouldn't rub makeup off of their face. I wouldn't say that nobody would fall for them. I wouldn't do the things that Ko is doing. And I feel like, like him being stoic or standoffish, it explains that. Him being mean to Futaba, his mom dying has nothing to do with that. Like, he's just being an asshole.
Yes.
Like, I can get where Tanaka-sensei was coming from when he was talking to Futaba in the car and saying that, oh, he's afraid that maybe Ko resents him for not being there because he told him, like, oh, to look after their mom and then she died. You know, and I think if he was slightly resentful, I would sort of get it, just because of the fact that he said that it was so hard to go into the hospital room. But it's like, well, that's valid. He's just has to go occasionally. It's not the way that Ko literally watched her die. So it's just like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's just different, you know. And to mm-hmm. be honest, something else that I guess it was banana split, but it could sort of be hot fudge. I don't know why the dad wasn't in the picture at that point.
Right. No, that's a really good question. And I don't know why I didn't spend more time thinking about that. How bad of a divorce do you have to not be present when someone's literally on their deathbed?
Literally dying.
And you just split up. Like, you were just recently together. It's not like 30 years later right. or something.
There wasn't enough time for it to be like that. And it's like, even if he didn't want to take on the money, I think it's just from an emotional standpoint, it feels like abandonment in that sense. Because I don't know.
It definitely
like,
does.
I don't know. Like, and that's something I could say for the mom as well, because the mom called the brother, and obviously the brother was just sort of like reluctant. Not that he didn't want to help, but it was like, it was hard on him too. And I fully understand that. But, you know, this child, because he's still a child, but especially then, is on his own. He's hearing that his mom has terminal cancer on his own and that she only yeah. has a couple months left to live. And it's like, if you knew that the doctor was going to tell your child that, why wouldn't you make sure to call your ex-husband to just be like, hey, can you come over to be there when Ko finds out? Or to right. take him home.
Like, be there for
right.
your son.
To be there for your son yeah. and stuff. Because that's so heavy. And, like, the way that Ko was crying and just so distraught and, like, nobody was there is just, it was so sad.
It really was. It really was.
So that's what I had.
Okay. Do you have any hot fudge?
No, I don't have any hot fudge.
Me neither. I just have one ice cream, you scream, and we kind of already talked about it.
Maybe it's the same as mine.
Yeah, it was just the lies and the dancing around communication. It just drove me insane. I know it's like kind of a trope or a technique or whatever in writing, and I can understand that it's awkward to be honest about things that make a situation or a relationship uncomfortable. And honestly, I think it's just that I'm so fed up about like the romance in this series and just kind of a lot of things in this series that I was a little extra harsh. But I was just so fed up with the way people were dancing around the communication in this episode, even if it technically wasn't Futaba's business.
Yeah.
Like, to be fair, if there was a situation where it was kind of understandable, it would be this one that Makita and Ko are in. I guess this is more of a banana split than an ice cream, you scream, but when I wrote it, I was just so fed up about everybody dancing around that nothing happened, even though it was so obvious something did.
Right. I put that as well, like, when I was watching the episode. Like, Makita proceeding to continue to lie to Futaba.
Right.
Like, why? Yeah, I just didn't like the fact that she did that, you know, because I feel that I think she could have just said something. Just like how, even though Ko was, like, sort of vague in that last episode to just be like, we didn't do anything. But even if she could just say, oh, this isn't something that I can share. Ko should share it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I feel like she could have said something like that just to alleviate her friend's anxiety, because it was obvious Futaba was anxious. And yes, just yeah. like I think I noted that before, just the idea of like his mom died and you knew about it and you didn't want to tell her because it made you feel special to know that his mom died. And I feel like it's just taking advantage of the situation, because who blasts that out to people? Like, I mean, it would be different if they'd been friends for like this long time and then a parent died. Then it would be like, yeah, you should tell your friends that this is what's happening in your life. But he didn't have to tell them, you know? And I feel like to sort of use that to one up Futaba is it's very weird.
Yeah, it's shady.
Yeah.
Do you have any more ice cream, you scream?
Oh, it was just Tanaka-sensei breaking up that kiss, almost kiss, sort of. I don't know what would have happened.
Oh, but like ice cream, you scream, but in like a yeah, cute, funny yeah. way.
Because it's like, can we get a kiss? Like, damn.
Yeah, can we get like, you know how they say like you give people an inch, they want a mile? They haven't even given us a centimeter in this anime.
Like, at all. Just
Yeah, nothing. There's nothing to go off
yeah.
of. But if that's it, I guess that brings us to the end of episode 24 of Shoujo Sunday and our penultimate review of Blue Spring Ride. Guys, it's certainly been a ride.
Most definitely.
Yeah. If you would like to keep up with us, be sure to follow us on your preferred podcast platform. We should be wherever you listen to podcasts. And be sure to please, if you're enjoying our rants here, give us a 5-star review here on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. I would super appreciate a little review written as well to try and grow the community here. And if you would like to keep up with us during the week, follow us at Shoujo Sunday across all socials. Comment potatoes.
Yeah.
If you have seen Game Grumps play Doki Doki Literature Club, I will make a lot of jokes with you if you have. If you would like to keep up with me personally, I am Gianna Luna. You can follow me at Gianna_Luna_ across socials. And how about you, Chica?
Okay, guys, you can follow me at Chica Supreme. That is Chica with a K, not two C's.
Awesome. Guys, thank you so much. We'll see y'all next week with our finale of Blue Spring Ride. We will see you then. Bye.